and Kala fasting on the day of their wedding. Okay, it's a time-honored minog amongst Ashkenazim, not amongst Sfaradim.
The briskas fast, though.
The briskas don't fast. Why not? What's the reason why they don't? Okay, we'll discuss some of the reasons why not, but only among Ashkenazim. The Sfaradim were not mekabel. The Ramah.
The briskas fast the day after the wedding for the rest of their life.
The Ramah, it's Ramah. The Ramah says, Nohagu shehachosan vehakala misanin biyom chuposan. The Ramah says there is the Jewish custom, and the Ramah is usually a comment on the Mechaber, and the Mechaber is representing the Sfaradim. And the Ramah was brilliant in not writing his own Sefer, but instead adding the Hagois into the words of the Mechaber. That was a brilliant, brilliant idea. Not to rewrite the book, but just to work with what you have and add his comments. And he says, amongst us Ashkenazim, Uvnei Yisrael Yotzim B'yod Ramah, even though Ramah is spelled Hey, and Ramah is Isulis with an Aleph, but that's the expression, don't chap me on diktuk, Uvnei Yisrael Yotzim B'yod Ramah, Ashkenazim found Ramah, and it says here, V'nohagim dekat mevish ha'chos makalem mis'anin b'yom chuposan. Why? The Ramah does not say why. So this opens up opens up quite a response amongst the commentators as to the reason. What was the Ramah thinking when he said these words? And he was not saying his own, he just coming to comment what the Jewish custom is. Ad hayoyim hazeh, the Sfaradim do not fast. They do not have the minhag to fast, the Sfaradim. Ashkenazim have the minhag to fast. Not all. For some reason that in this generation, many people are very lenient. Many rabbanim are very, very lenient, and they tell the chosan kal, if you don't want to fast, don't fast. I don't know, but there is no question that there is something, it's a time-honored minhag that goes back hundreds of years amongst Ashkenazim to fast. Why? It appears from all the research, I'm telling you, giving you a collection of ideas from different svarim, that the main reason not to fast is not like you think, it's because of anything holy, is if you, chasanim, thank you very much, would get drunk. It was shichus. It was a big party day. Okay, young people, you know, someone who's 20 years old, is be a baby, immature baby, and the day of his wedding had a party. And by the chosin's tish, could you imagine by the chosin's tish, someone comes, oh, you're getting, make a lechayim. And the next Rebbe comes, another lechayim, and the next Rebbe, and the next Rosh Yeshiva, and the next friend comes, lechayim, they bring out these expensive bottles of schnapps and wine, and who knows, before you turn around, the chosin is dead drunk. And then they take him to the chuppah, and he says, Haret Mikudeshes. Does he really say Haret Mikudeshes? Is he in a state of consciousness? Is he in a state of awareness? And then let's say Chas V'Shalom, it doesn't work out. Things don't go so well. In the marriage, a few days, a week later, people will say, he was never married to begin with. It was Kiddush Etos. I was there. He was dead drunk. You don't even need a divorce. If he starts making trouble and starts threatening, holding her up for money, or the other way around, or let's say she holds him up for money, whatever the story is, there's no need for a divorce. Kiddush, it wasn't even a marriage because he was drunk. He was not in a state of awareness to know what was going on. And the Kala also to a degree. Kala also to a degree. Maybe she wasn't even aware what was going on. Yeah, she has to be aware. This appears to be the main reason. Today, many people think the reason why is because I'll give you the other reason, but this appears to be the primary reason why the minhag Yisrael is a chosan does not eat on the day he gets married.
That's what my uncle had the experience, unfortunately, for that reason alone. Even when he married a lot of people, he married some people who weren't even from. And unfortunately, one he said he insisted even the non-from that they fast on the day of the wedding because he had, unfortunately, one chosan passed out under the chuppah.
He was what did he pay? He passed because he was drunk.
He literally he was so drunk.
He was drunk.
This was not a from couple.
And right.
The chosan just literally fell down drunk under the chuppah.
This is the time.
He said he wouldn't do a wedding unless even the non-frum, if they had a promise they were going to fast the day.
Exactly. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaroi.
Amen.
So this appears to really be the main reason. Now, what's very let's discuss this from another angle. This can be a bit problematic because not everyone fasts well. And let's give you an example. What about a divorce? Let's say Rachmana Litzlan Loyaleinu, if there's a divorce. Terrible tragedy, a divorce. Is there such a minhag on the day of divorce to fast? Okay, there might be a minhag among the Dayanim because it's a davar. Some Dayanim, I think some Dayanim fast before they participate in a get, because giving a get is a davar chomer ad moed. But what about the husband and wife? Do they have to fast on the day when they're getting divorced? So it's not so simple. Some hold they really should, because we want them the same exact time. You want to make sure they are in a full state of awareness as to what. No one should come along later on and say they weren't aware of what was going on. They were intoxicated. You need das. So there's an argument to be made that divorce also requires, if the primary reason for marriage is because of shichlus, it should apply to divorce. On the other hand, it appears it has to be a state of awareness. On the other hand, it can work the other way. When a person is fasting, not everyone fasts well. And when a person fasts, he gets weak. And it could affect his mind that the other way around, that I'm not well, I'm not strong, I don't know exactly what I'm doing. Now, that's not really 100% accurate, if that's debatable, that's true or not. But there is one thing that by divorce it works the other way around, and that is, when a person does not eat, he gets nasty. He gets groggy. Children have a tendency that they act out. And more often than not, when a child is acting out, it's because his glucose level is very low. We once had over here Dr. Fried, Dr. Aaron Fried. He gave a share for us, and he said exactly that. He said that when children act out, all parents know, first question is the kid hungry? If the kid is hungry, when the glucose level goes down, drops. So an adult, he learns to diet. He's more under control. But a child does not have that discipline to behave himself. And when his glucose level is low, he acts out. So the first thing you do when a child acts out is, did you eat breakfast today? Did you eat dinner? Do you lunch? You give him food. Then miracles happen. All of a sudden, the child behaves. When a husband is getting divorced, it's a very nasty, dirty event. It's a very bitter marriage. There's enormous expectation in marriage. And unfortunately, if it doesn't work out, this divorce, it can be a very bitter event. If a husband's glucose level is very low and he comes into the bezdin to give a divorce, it's very easy for something to set him off and get nasty, and can say the last minute, you know what? I'm not giving a divorce. I want money. I'm going to torture you. I'm going to make you into an aguna. I'm looking for blood. This happens ma'asim b'chol yom. We don't want the glucose level of the husband to be low at a time when we want it to go according to plan. Usually, if it comes to this, the first time a couple comes, Rachman Lestan, to a bez and says we want a divorce, there's a Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch says you don't give them a divorce. You right away negotiate. What's the problem? You don't just give a divorce. There's no such thing as a no fault in America. And it used to be in the Frida Gedoris in America, you can't get divorced. It's illegal. In talking about Goyisha, non-Jewish law, you have to go study every state. Every state, I think they have jurisdiction over marriage and divorce. In many states, I think even today, it's a crime. You don't want to get divorced. There has to be a cause. There has to be a reason that a judge approves a legitimate reason to get divorced. It's a new thing now. They changed the laws in many states where it's called no fault. I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly. No fault divorce. You can come to court and you can just say, I want a divorce for no reason. She's not a good cook. I just want out. Why? No reason. Just for fun. You're going to pay alimony? You're going to pay? Yeah, I'll pay. I have money. I made a lot of money in the stock market. I'll pay. I want out. No crime. It used to be illegal to do such a thing. You had to have a reason, and the reason had to be approved by a judge. That used to be the rule years, years ago, even in the Geisha country. Today, most states change that, called it's permitted. In Jewish law, what does halacha say about a no-fault divorce? Well, it's machlekes amoraim. It's not so clear. It's machlekes amoraim. What is the cause for divorce? It's machlekes in the Gemara. What are grounds for divorce? However, let's be practical. Let's be practical. Most of the time, Beis Din tries desperately to prevent it from happening. But if it comes a point when it's necessary, usually 95% of the time, if it's decided that there should be a divorce, let's get it over with ASAP. And if the husband comes into court and he's not in a good mood and he gets set off because he doesn't like the color of the tie of the dayan, why are you wearing a red tie? You remind me of Trump. And that's enough to send him off because he's a Democrat. You know what? I'm not getting a divorce today. And it can be Rachmanu Litzlan Naguna. We don't want that. We want his glucose level to be where it should be. So you know what? Have a nice breakfast. Don't come to court unless you eat breakfast and you have lunch and you read the newspaper and you have a nice day. Then you come to court. So there'll be no surprises and nothing will go wrong. That's what it says in the big books. We want a person to have a good meal before he comes to court, because divorce by nature is something very unpleasant. And a lot of things can go wrong, and we don't want anything to go wrong. And if a person is fasting, there's a tendency for him to act out. Now translate that to a wedding. Less kisuva, I've got the words right, the ein bo tigra. Every wedding is always strife. It's a reality. The satan is dancing at the wedding. He's there to make trouble. And why? Chazal tell us why. Because our first weddings were done with strife. Bachu lemishpechoysav. When Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael the rules of Arayos at Matan Torah, many couples had to get divorced because they were married to relatives that they were not permitted to be married to. Whether they were outright Arayos, whether they were Shniyos, the Rabbanon, and it says in the Pasuk, Bachu lemishpechoysav. The Jewish people were very bitter. They were very hurt, upset. It was very, very difficult for them to accept upon themselves the rules of marriage, the limitations of the rules of marriage. And because of that, that unwillingness, that unhappiness in accepting the mitzvah of Arayos, the stigma, the punishment lives on forever in every generation, that every single time a chosn kala gets married, there's going to be strife. As a punishment for Bachu lemishpechoysav, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the rules of marriage and forbidden relationships, they cried. On the other hand, Bris Milah, Sos Anochi al Imra Secha Kemotze Sholol Rav, any mitzvah which the Jewish people accepted with joy and happiness, we're still doing it with joy and happiness. You only get one chance to make a first impression. The first time we makal bris milah, it was sos anochi alim rasecha. Ad hayoyim hazeh, every bris milah, there's no strife. It's mole simcha. Even though the baby is crying his head off, there's no shechayonu mishum tzara diyanuka, but yet everyone's very happy. Because we were mekabel the mitzvah besimcha, but marriage, we were not. Bachu lemishpecha isaf. Therefore, look at the lumdus. This is off the beaten track what we're learning over here. The lumdus is, just like it's accepted, that even though really it would be ideal for a chassid, for a husband, and Rachmana litzlan on the time of divorce, that he should fast, so that he should not walk into the Beis Din drunk. What happens? What happens, say, if the guy comes into Beis Din to get he has an appointment to get a divorce, he walks into the Beis Din drunk. What are the dayanim going to do? Come back another day. You walk in here drunk? You walk in here, and let's say this is a sakana. There's a chashash aguna. It's either now or never. It's either now or never. I know many years ago, I had a friend who has, every time I came to visit him, there was in the house a young lady, a young woman who was very close with my friend's wife. Why was she always hanging out here? I didn't understand why she was always hanging out in this house. And he told me once that she had a very tragic story. She was married, and then something happened. They discovered the most horrible things you can possibly imagine, beyond belief, about her husband, what he was doing behind the scenes. So obviously she right away separated from him, and she wanted a divorce. And like he was like wishy-washy, and then he said, okay, I'll give a divorce. And the people that were involved, they literally, they called Hatzalah, like, to make that divorce happen ASAP, because the people who were involved assessed, this guy doesn't give a divorce now, at this moment, he can literally disappear to the other end of the world, and this woman will be in Aguna forever. And when they were talking to him, and he finally came, okay, I'll give a divorce, they assembled a Beis Din, and it's not an easy thing to go through this process, a very complicated process. They did this in record time, like they pulled off a miracle to save this woman from what could be a horror story for the rest of her life. So just like we explained that when it comes to a divorce, ideally, we want him to be, we want to fast, because we don't want this guy to come into Beis Din drunk. Because if he's drunk, then people are going to say, oh, he wasn't bedas. Shechrusa shaloit. He was like loit. And it wasn't a kosher divorce. So that would be ideal. But halacha lemaisa, the place can say no. No. It's worth it. It's better to let him eat. He should eat. There should be no halacha, because if he's going to fast, and you'll take away the problem, you'll solve one problem of shichrus, you're going to bring on a new problem. You're going to create, he'll be nasty. When a person doesn't eat, they're not in a good mood. And since the situation is a very ugly situation, he can just act out, and you know what, I don't want to give a divorce, I want this, I want that, he can just make a whole fuss. So Chazal, you're right. The second issue is worse than the first issue. It's better we take a chance that he'll walk in intoxicated versus the alternative of having him come into Beis Din tired and groggy and in a bad mood because he didn't eat and get set off. Now take that idea, and why don't we say the same thing when it comes to marriage? On the one hand, when a boy gets married, you know, get drunk, it's a party, bachelor's party, right? Who knows what can go on? He can get drunk. But what's the alternative? Okay, fast. But if you'll fast, less kisuva, ain't kisuva, de less batigra. Every marriage is always strife. There's always something to fight about. And you can go how many times? We know that it happens every so often. You go to a wedding, all of a sudden there's a big fight breaks out, and it's not so simple. Things go wrong. Chassan doesn't want this, that, all these things happen. So maybe we should follow the same pattern, and we should insist that the chassan eat before getting married, so he'll be a happy chassan, he'll be a happy camper to get married, and there shouldn't be any problems. No. Here, Chazal, we yoreid l'sev daito shel adam, the risk is on the other side. It's in getting married generally is a happy event. We don't have to worry so much about the tigra, the fighting that happens at a wedding. We have to be more concerned about getting too happy, intoxication, shichrus. So the balance is shifted. Okay, so it's a very fascinating topic here. We have over here two issues. Should you fast? Should you not fast? The primary reason is we want a person to be in a state of awareness of what is happening. But there is a downside. There is a trade-off. When a person fasts, there's a tendency to act out like a child. Which one is more important? So Chazal, when it comes to a divorce, it's more important to eat, to be in a good mood. And we will overlook the chances that he'll be intoxicated. Marriage, it's a good event. So there Chazal decided, let's better take our chances with him fasting, and he should be in a state of awareness, than focusing on the benefit of being in a good mood after a nice, delicious, hearty breakfast. Okay, so these are the two tzadim. Now, everything I told you over here is all very fine and good, okay, according to this time. Now, this has a lot of nafkin. Now, let me give you another time, another very popular reason, and then we'll give another five reasons which are not as popular. The other reason is very simple. It's Yoy Mechilas Avonais. Everyone knows the principle, Mochalas, that when Esav married the daughter of Yishmael, her name was Mochalas. Why was she? That was not her real name. Why does the pasuk call her Mochalas? To teach you a principle, Mechilas Avonais. On the day when a chassan gets married, there is this, it's a Yom Hadith. So in this case, there's a lot of topic discussion. It's a special day. It's a day of Shlemus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him and her for all of their sins. It's like Yom HaKippurim. It's a Yom of Mechila Uslicha, a day of doing teshuvah, and part of the process of doing teshuvah is to fast. On Yom HaKippurim we fast, on a Tainas Sibur we fast. Being the day of Mechilas Avonais, it's the proper thing to fast. Okay, it has nothing to do with shechus. It's purely a spiritual element that enhances the nature of the day, Mechilas Avonais. Some say that's why the chassan wears a kittel under the chuppah. Why? Because it's like Yom Kippur. It's Yom Mechilas Avonais. It's his private Yom Kippur. Okay, some say that a chassan kala, they have a koyach to give bracha, because on this day, they're clean. They're naki mechet. Hashem forgives them. They have the ability to give. They give a sincere bracha to mispal for the people. They're the tools on the skadel. Because they're knocky, then they're knocky. So I've given over here two reasons. Okay, these are the two main reasons. The real reason appears shechus, and then we like, you know, we have a tendency in Judaism to take something which is very simple and practical and to glorify it in the world of Kabbalah. So from shechus, it turned into the glorification of Yoy Mechilas Avonais. It's funny, go ask the average chassan kala, why are you fasting? You know what they're going to tell you? Mechilas Avonais. What about shichrus? Oh, I never heard of that reason. Okay, I don't think the average chassan kala ever heard the reason why you fast on the day you get married is because we want to make sure that you're not drunk. They never heard of this. They look at you like you're out of your mind. And then what are you talking about? The reason why you fast on the day you get married is because it's a yoy mechilas avonais. No. That's not that. That's the second reason. That's what came first, the chicken or the egg. The ikar tam is practicality. Practicality, be very practical in life. After everything is practical, you have everything is in the right place, you have parnasa, you have good health, and everything is fine and good, then you can chap the malachim. You can go and look to seek out from the hechera fence, do they say, right? From the high fence, you can go and you can seek out all the spiritual elements. Mechilas avoinos became a popular reason, because that's just a sign of our times. We live in a world of, you know, we don't live in a world of practicality. We live in a world of spirituality. Unfortunately, the emphasis is a bit too much on that and that direction. But let's now give some interesting nafgaminas between these two reasons. Now we don't this reason may not be very practical all the time, but let's go back to time of the Gemara. What happens time of the Gemara? If a girl, time of the Gemara, it was very common when a father would marry off his daughter when she was before she was bas mitzvah. It was very common in the Gemara. Okay, time of the Rishonim. A father has the power to be mekabel kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. Does the father of the kala have to fast? The father of the kala, she's not getting married. He's not getting married. His daughter is getting married. But he is her agent. He is her guardian. He is the one that the Torah empowers to marry her off. She's under 12 years old. He has the legal right to accept from the chosan, under the chuppah, to accept kesef kiddushin. Does the father of the girl have to fast? One thing is for sure. He is not going to get on this day mechilas avonos. No one's forgiving his sins. He's not getting married. His daughter is getting married. But he is the one that is effecting kiddushin. So if the ikar tam of marriage is because of shichrus, we want the one that is doing the transaction to be aware of what's going on. It doesn't make a difference if the one that is affecting the marriage is the chosan kala or an agent. The agent has to be aware of his surroundings. The father must fast. But if the tam is mechilas avonos, he's not getting married, he doesn't need to fast. Now, that's not really very practical today. How would it be practical today? I'm not sure there really is a case, but let's say a chosan is mekadesh al yidei shliach. The chosan can appoint an agent. The chosan can appoint an agent, or the kala can appoint an agent. Now, okay, this is not going to happen today. No one is going to go get married today. The Gemara talks about this only a million times. So almost after kedushin is the chosan. He sends a shliach mekadesh, and then the kala, she sends a representative. Do the agents of the people getting married, do they need to fast? Well, it's because of shichrus, the answer is yes. If it's because of mechilas avonos, then the answer is no. They do not need to fast. By a get, see, this is where it may be more of a nafkamina, which I don't think anyone really pays attention to this. But there is no question that today divorces are still handled by agents in unusual circumstances, when there are emergencies, when there are shals of agunos, and there are situations where a shaliach is appointed to deliver a divorce, or a shaliach is appointed to accept a divorce. So we really discussed that this topic of fasting to be fully aware really goes both ways. Marriage and divorce, and the only reason why we don't require fasting by a divorce is because we don't want there to be any acting out, getting in a bad mood when you don't have your breakfast, don't have a cup of coffee. You have a cup of coffee, you're not the same person. I can tell you, I if I don't have my cup of coffee, I'm not a happy camper. I'm not a happy camper in any way, but certainly without a cup of coffee, you don't want that problem. But wait a minute. If you're not the one getting divorced, what do you care? What do you care? You're not going to act out. You're just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the messenger here. But if I come into court drunk as a representative of my agent, that could be a problem. If you're sending me out to Oklahoma, Nebraska, or maybe even Pennsylvania to give a divorce, and there I may just go into a bar and have a drink before I have my appointment with Beis Din. I can walk in drunk. And we don't have to worry about acting out. You're not the one that's getting divorced. You're just the representative. Maybe in that situation, it would be a good idea to insist that the agent fast. Because really, that's the ideal. The ideal thing is that the agent, the one that is affecting the marriage or divorce, should fast. It's only because of acting out that we did away with it when it came to divorce, but not when it came to marriage. But now when it comes to an agent where there is really no issue of acting out, we should reinstate the original takon, and they really should be fasting to be 100% aware. So this would be a nafkin. Now let me give you a nafkin in the other direction. What happens if a person gets married the day after Yom Kippur? Okay, the day, now in general, let me ask you, in general, the in between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, do people get married today? Not really. I don't know. You can get married. There's no reason why you can't get married. Do you recall going to a wedding between Yom Kippur and Sukkos? I don't recall. I don't recall the people make weddings at that time. I don't recall. But technically, you can get married between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. You can get married. If a person gets
married, a wedding this year.
Between Yom Kippur and Sukkos? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because I went to Shavuot Brachos on Chol Hamoed Sukkos.
Okay. So if you can get married, you can get married. Does the Chosan and Kala fast those 4 days? If they get married one of those 4 days. So those are days that you don't fast. We don't say Tachnon. We don't fast. There are no Hespedim between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. There are 4 days. There are no fasting is, I don't know, forbidden. We don't fast. The question is asked, if Rav Moshe Feinstein and other Gedolim, should Chosan Kala fast if they get married in those days? Rav Moshe Paskins, yes. Absolutely, they should fast. This that we do not fast is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. It's not a din of the Gemara. It's a minhag. And this minhag is a very weak minhag, he says. It does not override something, a time-honored tradition amongst Ashkenazim, that you fast b'yom chupasa. You fast on the day you get married. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yes, 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 you should fast. Here's the question. Question is, let's go to, this is a really good question, a good proof, solid stuff, a piece of Gemara. There was an Amoira whose name was Baba Ben Buta. Okay, famous Baba Buta, he was instrumental in the rebuilding of the Bais Sheni, by Hurdis. He was a Tana. Baba Ben Buta. Baba Ben Buta had a minog. Not sure if he actually did this, or I'm a little confused with the same Baba Ben Buta that I'm thinking about. He brought every single day a korban osham toloi. Now, what is an osham toloi? If a person does an avera, that's a suffix, I have a doubt. If I went to a restaurant and they served me something which looks like forbidden fats, chalef, I don't really know. There was a situation in the restaurant where there was confusion regarding this dish, and they're not sure if it was what's called shuman, which is kosher fat, or it's chalev, forbidden fat. There are different parts of the animal. Some parts of the animal, they look identical. It's almost, they are identical, they look identical. Different parts of the animal. Some fats of the animal are permitted, and some parts are forbidden. The parts that are forbidden, the penalty is kores. If a person eats chalev bemezid, there's a chiyuv of kores. If he eats the chalev by accident, the punishment is a korban chatos. What happens if you really don't know? I ate this fat. I don't know. Somehow the situation came about where I don't know if this is forbidden or permitted. So then you bring a special carbon called an osham toloi, a carbon osham. And the osham toloi, what it does is it shields you from punishment in the event that what you have eaten was chalev. And if the day comes that you discover that it was chalev, then you will bring a real carbon chatos. And if the day comes when you discover that it was nothing, it was shuman, then you're finished. But in the meantime, until you clarify what has happened, you bring a special carbon osham tolu. And this is true not just for chalev. This is true for any time a person does naver where there is a suffix, Shabbos. If a person does something and he has a doubt, maybe I was mechal Shabbos, maybe not. Or maybe when it comes to arayos, Nida, was his wife a Nida? Was she not a Nida? There are many situations. So Bob Ben Bud did something very bizarre. Today they would take him to a psychologist. They would sit him down. They would write a book about him. He would appear every week in a magazine, in Ami, Mishpacha, Modia, Yated, Flabish Jewish Journal, okay, and the Jewish Home. Every magazine, every newspaper, they would write about him the whole day, because all they do in these magazines the whole day, discuss mental illness, and they would say, this Bob and Buta, every single day, he showed up in the Beis HaMikdash, and he told the Kohanim, I want to bring an Osham Toloi. I'm not sure, maybe yesterday, I did an Avera. Maybe I was Michal Shabbos. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. Maybe my wife was a Nida, maybe she wasn't. Maybe I chalev. Maybe when I went to supper, who knows what they served me for supper last night. He was obsessed, mamish obsessed. Today they would put every label you can on him. Every single day of the year, he showed up in the Beis HaMikdash and made a declaration, I'm not walking out of here until I bring my osham toloi. Because I can't live with myself. Maybe I did an aver, I'm chayev karis. And lightning will strike at any moment, and I need that divine protection by bringing my osham toloi. That's what it says in the Gemara. I'm not making this up. There was one day a year he didn't come to the Beis HaMikdash. One day a year. You know when that was? The day after Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, you know what he said? Even if I did an Avera, yesterday was Yom Kippur. So yesterday, I got Mechilas Avonos. For 24 hours, I'm okay. Even though he suffered from this, we would call this an illness, okay? He suffered from this nervousness. He did an Avera. Even he was able to live with himself for 24 hours. Yesterday was Yom Kippur. Yesterday I got Mechilas Avonos. So today, for 24 hours, I don't need to go and get an Osham Toloi. I'll bring the first Osham Toloi 2 days after Yom Kippur. So the question was this, Rav Moshe deals with the question, if a person gets married the day after Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur, let's say Yom Kippur is Shabbos, and now it's Sunday, and you're getting married Sunday afternoon, do I have to fast on Sunday morning? If the whole time, so this is an afkamina, if the reason why you're fasting is because of shichrus, we don't want you to get drunk at the chosin's tish, we don't want you to get intoxicated, and then people are going to question the validity of the marriage, then just because yesterday was Yom Kippur, so what? Today you're getting married. The reason why you're fasting has nothing to do with Mechilas Avonos. We don't want you to get intoxicated. You have to fast. Sorry, buddy. That's the way life goes. But if the Iker Tam, which I think most people, that's what they think, ask the average chassan, I guarantee if you ask the average, do a poll of all the chassanim that are getting married, in all the wedding halls today, why are you fasting? If they even are fasting, I don't know if they are fasting, they're all going to tell you Mechilas Avonos, and they're going to be telling you Shichrus, they're going to look at you like you're from Mars, but if you can tell me the Iketam Mechilas Avonos, which maybe it is, okay, I'm not, who am I to say, I'm just for entertainment purposes, I'm just trying to, you know, just speak out a little bit more than I should. But do you have to fast the day after Yom Kippur? L'chor not. L'chor you should not need to fast. Because if Baba ben Buta did not need to bring an Asham Tali within 24 hours of Yom Kippurim, so you don't have to fast either. I got Mechilas Avon, it was 2 days ago, that should be enough. By extension, let's talk another very, this is very common, probably the most common, someone who gets married the day after Asara B'Teves. Someone gets married the day after a fast day. Asara, that's a perfect example. There's nothing wrong getting married on the 11th day of Teves. I'm sure all the wedding halls are booked solid. Do the Chosan and Kala have to fast the next day? We just fasted yesterday. If we just fasted yesterday, it achieved the Mechilas Avonis within a short period of time, like Bab and Buta. So what's the answer? So first of all, so the answer, Rav Moshe basically says, you have to fast. Too bad. Too bad. You have to fast again. And Rav Moshe, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe says something different. He says, besides the fact, Shechros, even if it's Mishum Mechilas Avonis, it's a different dimension of Mechilas Avonis. It's a very deep idea, Rav Moshe says. It's true. On Yom HaKippurim, you have achieved Mechilas Avonis. What does that mean? Oh, you clean like a whistle? You go through Yom Kippur, you fast the whole day, you bang your head into the wall, you like a litvak, you shuckle and you shuckle, you shuckle the whole day. Oh, and they blow shofar. Hashem ulokim, yiskadal v'yiskadash, they blow shofar. What? You squeaky clean? We all know that's not true. Yom Kippur is a day of Mechilas Avonis. There is a dimension. There is a dimension of Mechilas Avonis. But it doesn't mean you're squeaky clean. There are different dimensions to Mechilas Avonis. Marriage offers an entirely different dimension of Mechilas Avonis. It's different. How is it different? I don't know. We don't know how these things work, what goes on in Shemayim, but we can appreciate that it's different. There's a concept of Mechilas Avonis of Yom Kippur and of marriage. Ha'ilichot, the ha'ilichot. There's Asar B'Teves, it gives you Mechilas Avonis, and then there's the day of a wedding, it gives you Mechilas Avonis. Just because the 2 days are back to back doesn't exempt. This is not like Baba Ben Buta. Baba Ben Buta is dealing with technicalities. Asham Toloi, it's a technical matter. It's not a matter of Mechilas Avonis. Yom Kippur achieves the same exact thing that an Asham Toloi achieves in this element. If within 24 hours there was Yom Kippur, then you don't need an Asham Toloi the day after Yom HaKippurim. 2 days later, you may need it. But Mechilas Avonis is not an Asham Toloi. It's a whole different experience, and that is independent of Yom Kippur, and therefore Einoch Nami, you have to fast 2 days in a row. Now, if your doctor is going to tell you that it's not healthy for you to do so, okay, that's a different story. Okay, that we're not discussing a situation where you have a doctor who says can't fast 2 days in a row. No, you can't do that. I mean, obviously eating at night, you can't do it. It's going to lead to sakana. All right, I'm not discussing that. That's a whole different type of story. That's a different situation. But if the doctor is going to say no harm done in fasting 2 days in a row, having a dinner in between, you'll survive just fine, then Rav Moshe says there's no excuse not to fast. You have to fast. Rav Moshe is very machmir about fasting. He's very, very strict about fasting. Even between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, day after a fast day, is very, very machmer. A lot of people today are not like this. Today, the trend in the yeshiva world is to be very lenient, not to fast. Any excuse you can find not to fast, don't fast. 2 days in a row, I know they'll tell you today for sure, you're getting married after Asar B'Teves, you don't have to fast. If you fast already on Asar B'Teves, so Asar B'Teves already accomplishes, it's already, that's, you should have kavana that when you fast on Asar B'Teves, That's the tightness for your wedding day, not to trouble yourself to fast 2 days in a row. I can't tell you any place by name that will tell you, but I'm sure you look around, you'll ask around, you'll find a lot of heterim.
The other fast days,
yeah,
are not for mechila. It's just the Navi says that we have to fast in commemoration of.
Okay, so what do you do on those days? So we say slichais. We make those days into days of teshuvah. So there is an element. There is still an element of fasting. Okay, so here again. So here will be a second nafmina in the other direction. Now, let me give you some other.
Could you have a wedding to serve potatoes at night?
So Rav Moshe talks about that. Wait, the day? What do you mean? The night after the night of the day before?
The night after.
The night after.
You break the fast is 5:30.
The answer is yes, yes. Yes, the answer you can have. The answer is yes, you can have it. Yes, it's not.
I've been at weddings like that.
Yes, you can have it. You can have it, but it's not a good idea for one very simple reason, because all of the preparations that you're doing are being done during the fast day. You're coming, you're taking pictures, you're. A wedding today, we all know, it's a whole day of preparation. And to involve yourself to be mesiach das from the tightness when Klal Yisrael is fasting, and to be a yetzim in a klal, to plan, when it comes to a bris milah, the baby is not asking you, is not making an appointment when it's good for you to be born. It comes when it wants to come. When it comes to a wedding, you can decide when you want to get married. So for you to plan to get married the night after Aseret B'Teves and to put yourself and your entire family in a situation where the entire day leading up to, during the time of fasting, you're running around, going to the makeup artist and having your hair done and getting your clothing and doing this and doing that, it's not the right thing to do. Unless you can't get a hall. Unless you don't have a choice. Life is not usually, it's not, you don't have choices in life. So the answer is, it's technically, it is permitted. Is it a practical thing to do? Is it an ideal thing to do? Definitely not. The bigger shaila is getting married the night before. That's really the big shaila. The big, big shaila is, this shaila, the answer is technically it's mutter, 100%. Again, it's not ideal. There is a more technical question of getting married the night before Aseret B'Teves. When does the fast really begin? The fast for us, halacha l'maisa, and in our golus, begins in the morning with Aleis HaShachar. But in the time of the Nevi'im, it seems pretty clear that it was just like Tisha B'Av. The real fast began at night. And we don't do that today anymore because we only fast today as a minhag. The fast technically has been canceled and we observe it as a minhag. How far does the minhag go? Do we at least treat the night of Aseret B'Teves as a day of teshuvah where you should not be mesiach das from the day? You don't have to eat. You don't have to fast. We don't do the five inuyim. We don't wear sneakers. We don't withhold from bathing. But it's still on our heads that right now it's a yom tzom. And that would be a contradiction to getting married. Or no. No. It's the ikar tainis is batel. What we do is a minhag. The minhag is only in the morning. Alois HaShachar. Until Alois HaShachar, there is nothing to think about. Get married, there's no concern whatsoever. This is a halachic dilemma. Rav Moshe Feinstein is makel, he is lenient, and that's the minhag, pretty much. The minhag is to be very lenient in this matter. But, you know, there are other opinions, and obviously, if you have choices, if you have, like I told you, life, most of the time, there are no choices. You want a hall? Listen, you want a hall? This is the only date that's available. You gotta, you know, it's not a question of what you want. It's a question of what is available in life. What opportunities you have in life, you do the best that you can. And the bottom line is, Rav Moshe says, if you can, it's mutter. Technically, it is permitted. Okay, going back to our Shiloh. So Now let's discuss other interesting reasons why the minig is to fast. These are totally different reasons. Totally, you know, these are all cited by Gedolei Yisrael, and different than the two primary reasons of Mechilas Avonos and Shichras. Other reasons given is Chivov Mitzvah, to show that the mitzvah that you're doing is precious. The principle in Halacha, Chivov Mitzvah, the preciousness of a mitzvah. You have in front of you a mitzvah. Food is a distraction. I can tell you that as a fact. You know, I Baruch Hashem, I was zoiche to give shiurim, and I can tell you as a clear fact of life, you cannot compete with food. If you're giving a shiur, and on the table there is food, forget it. No one is listening. You have if anyone's going to be listening, even if there's no food, you can. Now you would say maybe you can't compete if I have cholent, hot, delicious cholent, with exotic foods and delicious the aroma. You can't. But let's say you put on the table some peanuts, or how about we put some rice cakes? Okay, some rice cakes or some stale pretzels. Oh, that I can compete with, right? No. You cannot compete with a peanut. If there is a peanut on the table in a dish, I'm telling you as a fact, people's minds are on that peanut. You do not, this is a reality of life. I'm telling you, that's how it is. Food and Torah do not go together. You want to eat? I would tell people very nastily, there are 24 hours in the day. Why do you have to eat during these 45 minutes? There are 24 hours in the day before you come eat. If there's food, it doesn't go. If you have a mitzvah in front of you to do today, and you're going to eat, it's a distraction. The mitzvah is not so important. Food is more important. Now you can't live like that. You got to live. V'chai bohem. But once in a while, you have a mitzvah.
In Kemach Ein Torah.
Fine, in Kemach Ein Torah. But once in a while, a mitzvah comes around, a once-in-a-lifetime mitzvah. Marriage, ooh. A bris milah, pidyon haben. Once a year, Chanukah candles. Bedikas chometz. Mikra Megillah. All of these things, it's very bizarre. Why is there a minog not to eat? There's a minog. You don't eat until you do bedikas chametz. I know there are exceptions. I'm well aware of the exceptions. There's a minog you're not supposed to eat until you light candles. That's a halacha. There are exceptions. I know there are exceptions to the rule. But the default is, from time immemorial, you don't eat until you light Hanukkah candles. You don't eat until you do bedikas chametz. You don't eat, what are other examples? You don't eat until you lay in the Megillah. Why?
Lulav
in the morning. Lulav in Eshriah. There's also this such thing. You don't even take a drink, a cup of coffee. Okay, there are. People not so machbar. Okay, yeah, you're in a chanami. There are. He actually writes about that in Dvorkis, in Sefer of Dvorkis. He writes about that also. Lulav. There's a principle in halacha called chivuv mitzvah. A mitzvah that comes around occasionally, rarely, not everyday mitzvah, don't get distracted with food. Food is delicious. It's an object which we use to sanctify Hashem's name. It's kula bracha, but it's a distraction as well. If you have a special mitzvah, put away the food. A person is getting married. This is a mitzvah, priya urviya, v'chivshuha. You'll tell me it's a heksha mitzvah. Yeah. But the bottom line is, it's a mitzvah. You make a lot of brachas that night. You do a lot of big things. It's special. Don't get distracted. If you're going to start worrying about when you wake up in the morning, the day of your wedding, what's for breakfast? It takes away from what the day is all about. It has nothing to do with mechilas avoinois. We're not worried about, forget about that. We're not worried about getting drunk. You're not going to get drunk. If you haven't gotten drunk until now in your life, you're not going to get drunk today either. It's purely keep your eye on the ball. Nothing more than that. Okay, there's another tam, and that is Yom HaDin. And this is not to be confused with Mechilas Avonos. There are many people that have the minug to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Mamish, on Rosh Hashanah, they fast. They fast a half a day. You're not allowed to fast, it's a Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast a whole day. But Erev Rosh Hashanah they fast. Okay, even Rosh Hashanah, this whole Shaila, I don't remember, I forgot, you're not allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. It's Usr to fast in Rosh Hashanah. Is it really Usr? The only day that you're not allowed to fast, Me'ikar HaDin, is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to fast, Usr to fast. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a minute to fast, a half a day. There's also, I don't remember the details about Rosh Hashanah itself. Are you allowed to fast on Reish Hashanah? There's a big topic of discussion. Why would you want to fast? It's a Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is not a day of Mechilas Avonos. Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a time-honored minhag from time immemorial to fast a half a day on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Many people still do it, even in our generation. They fast a half a day on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? It doesn't say anywhere in the world that there's any Mechilas Avonos on Rosh Hashanah and Erev Rosh Hashanah. Doesn't exist such a thing. Mechilas Avonos is exclusively the domain of Yom HaKippurim or Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur is Mechilas Avonos. So what are you fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah? It's the Yom HaDin. On the Yom HaDin, you don't eat. It's not a matter of distraction. It's not Chiv of Mitzvah. It's not a matter of Mechilas Avonos. It's not a matter of getting drunk. It's purely on the Yom HaDin. You don't eat. Period. Okay? Pshutoi kimashmo. You're in a matzav. Today is Judgment Day. The Yom Chuposoi is a Yom HaDin. A lot hangs in the balance. What is the din? No one ever came back to tell us what's going on in Shemayim. I don't know what the din is. I don't know. We don't know what all this means. But if Chazal tell us that it's a Yom HaDin, it's a Yom HaDin. It's like Rosh Hashanah. You don't eat on the Yom HaDin. Okay. Another example is, this is a very beautiful another answer. This is brought down from I think probably Hasidish. I don't even know who this person is. His name is Rabbi Ephraim Mibuno. You know who he is? I don't know. Ephraim seems like a very, very, very choshev, a big Talmud Chacham from previous generations, and he says something very, very fascinating. You know when you fast? The same reason why you break the glass under the chuppah. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki im lo'ale Okay, we do things at a wedding to remind us at your day of joy, your day of happiness, b'yom simchas, b'yom simchas libo, remember, the Ribbono Shel Olam is in mourning because his bias, you're coming to build for yourself a bias. What about Hashem's home? What about Klal Yisrael? They're not happy. What about Yerushalayim? Im loy ale es Yerushalayim al roish simchasi. Remember someone else's tsar on your day of joy. The reason why you fast, he says, because we don't want you to be too happy. On this day of Yom Simchaso, don't forget that most of the world is miserable. Most of the world suffering very much at this moment in time. And don't distance yourself from the klal on your day of joy. You should be uncomfortable. Okay, again, no Mechilas Avonos, there's no Yom HaDin, there's no Shichrus, none of this stuff. Just calm down here. Don't get too carried away with your joy when so many people out there in the world don't have what you have and are suffering. Okay, that's a whole different approach to why you fast. Another reason to fast. Okay, this is something which is this is a little more esoteric. It's a little more esoteric, this idea. It's not this doesn't really appeal to everyone. And and the source for this, to me, I don't know, I can't really trace the source, the accuracy. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, Matan Torah, Shavuos, supposedly there's a medrash that says they fasted. The day of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael fasted. Why did they fast on the day of Matan Torah? It's not so clear. I'm not exactly sure. It's not because of din. It's mainly because clarity. The mind should be clear. They fasted. It's not important to go in and to analyze the reason, the understanding of the historical event of Matan Torah. And until Matan Torah was over, there was no eating allowed. The only thing we have to acknowledge is everything, literally every minhag that we do at a wedding can be traced to an event or a detail that occurred at the time of Matan Torah. Why do the parents, the Shushpin of the Chosen Kala, carry candles? Because at Matan Torah, there was Esh Min HaShamayim. Why do they walk around the Chosen? Because Klal Yisrael, they surrounded the mountain. They surrounded Har Sinai. They were makif the mountain. I don't remember all the details, but basically every single detail, this is a topic in itself to analyze the all the different minhagim, and to show that each minhag by a wedding can be traced to Matan Torah. But let's accept that at this moment for the sake of argument or simplicity as a fact. And this is just another detail. This is just another minor detail. The Jewish people, it says in the Midrash, did not eat on the day of Matan Torah. Why? I don't know. But just like they did not eat, the Chosen Kala do not eat. Because every wedding is a minor reenactment of Matan Torah, a dugma between the marriage between Hashem and Klal Yisrael through the Torah. Okay. Now, let me just see. There's another reason. Okay, another interesting reason. We really mentioned this before. Kol mitzvah, every mitzvah that Klal Yisrael accepted with joy, they are still doing with joy ad hayoyim hazeh. For example, Biris Mila. Sos anoichi al im roisecha kimoitse shalol rav. I rejoice. Today we are doing Biris Mila with joy. Every mitzvah that we did not do with joy, we're still crying about today. The primary example of a mitzvah that the Jewish people did not accept with joy is arayos, forbidden relations. Forbidden relationships and everything which goes along with it, the rules of marriage, who you are allowed to marry, who you are not allowed to marry. The Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah, they are described as bochu lemishpachosav. They were crying. This is a stain in our history. That when it came to this mitzvah, these set of mitzvahs, arayos of the Taryag mitzvahs, we were not happy. We wanted to reject it. It was painful for us to accept. It's also one of the reasons why. So what's the issue? That stigma, that stain, is with us ad hayoyim hazeh. On Yom HaKippurim Mincha, we lay in the parsha of arayos. Why? It's not exactly a very pleasant thing to read on Yom Kippur Mincha to talk about incest. It's an abomination. It's disgusting. This is what you have to lay in on Yom HaKippurim. Arayos. So what is the answer? The popular answer is, because unfortunately there are many people that are nichshol in arayos. So we have to remind them, you know, the day ain't over yet. Yom Kippur is still active. You can still do teshuva. But there are many other reasons why we're in the parasha of arayos. And one of the reasons is because this collection of mitzvahs, unfortunately, we did not accept with joy. We rejected it. And every year, we need to do teshuva for our unwillingness, our resistance to accept the mitzvahs of arayos. Just like on Yom Kippurim, we have to reflect that we were not complete with Hashem in this regard. Every wedding, we have to reflect upon this as well. Here we are, we're getting married. We make the brachos, brachat Hashem, kirim lechol asher kedushan b'mitzvaysav. The osar lanu esvarusais, the hiti lanu eshanusuais. We reflect upon the mitzvahs of arayos, who we are allowed to marry, who we are not allowed to marry. And it reminds us of the stain in our neshamas for resisting these mitzvahs in the Torah at the time when they were given. And in order to acknowledge that, we have to either do teshuva for it, or we have to pain ourselves over it, we have to reflect over it, and therefore that's why we fast. We're fasting not because of Mechilas Avonos, not because of Yerushalayim, not because of getting drunk, not because of all the reasons. You know what we're fasting? We're fasting because a very particular problem that we have. We resisted the mitzvahs of arayos at the time of Matan Torah. And that cannot be forgotten. There's a lesson to learn. How dare we? How dare we resist a mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us? Why wasn't arayos accepted with joy, just as Bris Milah was accepted with joy? This lingers, and this needs to be addressed, and the lesson needs to be learned going forward, not to resist Hashem's Rotzon under any condition. And now let me give you the last reason, the icing on the cake. I heard this with my own ears from my Rebbe, Rav Avram Pam, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, of Pam and Tarvadas, and every year Parshas Chayei Sarah, he would speak. Every Shabbos he would speak. Every Friday, he would speak in yeshiva. In the last years, the place, he became like a celebrity. The place exploded. People would come in from all over New York to hear his Friday drushas. But there was one Friday during the year when there wasn't enough room in the whole yeshiva for the drush, and that was Friday, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chayei Sarah. The legend was he would always speak about Shiduchim. That's the topic Friday, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chayei Sarah. And every year he said basically the same thing every year. He said a little bit differently, but he pretty much said the same ideas every year. And he always said this. Every year he said, why does a chosan and kala fast on the day they get married? And he said, his mother told him the real reason. He said from his mother, because you need to do, the day you get married, you need to do teshuva for all of the agmas nefesh you caused your parents when you were involved in the parsha of Shiduchim. From the time you started dating, this girl is no good, and this is good, and that's no good, and you were mitzahir the girls, and you were mitzahir this parent and this shatran, all of your immature nonsense, you cause so many people grief for you to get here. You cause so many problems in your dating, in your dating record, in your dating history, your black book. Let's hand over the black book and see what you got there. And that's why you have to fast. So let me tell you a little extension. I told this, said over to my mother. I told my mother this. My mother, Zichron Levracha, Allah HaShalom, I told her this fart. So my mother laughed. And my mother said to me, come on, You think only one day of fasting is going to be mechaper? Only one day? For the agmas nefesh, you cause your parents with this parasha, you have to fast a lot more than one day. How many days you have to fast in mechaper for all the agmas nefesh? One day is not going to do it for you. You need a lot more than one day. Okay, so that is inyan of fasting. All right. I'll leave you with one more little yisoid. One little yisoid, really out of time, but we mash them with one more teeny little prat to conclude, and that is chuppah. Okay, there's a whole topic, but I just want to tell you one yisoid. I don't know if we'll see what we'll do tomorrow, but in the meantime, we'll leave one yisoid. Chosn Kala gets married under a chuppah. What is the meaning of the word chuppah? Where does it come from? It's a very fascinating topic. What is a chuppah? In Tanakh, it appears there are two different meanings for the word chuppah. What is, in fact, the shoresh of the word chuppah? Is it ches pehe, like we say chuppah? Or maybe chuppah, really, it's a variation of another word, choifef. Choifef olav kol hayoim. Choifef. It's really ches pei pei. Is the shoresh. There are two words in Tanakh. There are two different words. There's a word in Tanakh all over called ches pei hei. Chuppah. It appears in Tanakh in that form. And there's a word called ches pei pei. Two different words. The Targum, how do you know there are two different words? Because the Targum translates these two words differently. Ches pei fei is almost always translated with the word, a form of the word, a mogain, a shield. Whereas the word ches pei hei is always translated with a word that relates to a covering. Now there's a very big difference between a covering and a shield. A shield has to be, covering represents tznius, it represents privacy. It doesn't mean you protect it. Doesn't mean you protect it. A shield represents protection. It doesn't necessarily mean you're concealed. You know, you can be out there in the open. I'm here in front of a glass screen, right? I'm in front of a glass screen right now. If Mordechai Biedenstock and me, there's a mechitza shel barzel. That's mafsik between me and him. We have this glass shield. The glass shield, but it's glass. Glass is not a covering. It doesn't really, doesn't hide me. It protects me. What is the purpose of the chuppah? Is the purpose, when a chos and kala get married under a chuppah, it's symbolic. Okay, there's halacha. We're not doing the halacha now. Okay, the halacha, you bring it to a rishus, but there's a hakpada to go into a chuppah. The marriage is defined by a chuppah. What is the role of the husband? Is the role of a husband to protect his wife? Or is the role of a husband to cover? To basically provide her...
Well, it's basically the same idea.
It's not. It's not the same, because a cover...
A cover... is also a protection.
Not necessarily. A cover, the material, if the material you use for the cover is not strong, it's not going to protect you. It's not going to protect you. It's going to keep you out of sight. But it's not necessarily a protection.
Same idea.
It's related. The ideas are related, but we have to develop this more. We're out of time. I have to develop this more. They're not exactly the same. There are two elements. There are two different elements in a chuppah. And just to give you an example, the Gemara Masechta Gittin talks about one of the sins that was destroyed, how to come back, was a minug. When a boy was born, they planted an erez tree. And when a girl was born, they planted a different type of tree, which was much weaker, it seems. And when they got married, they would cut down the erez, and cut down the tree that was planted for the little girl, and they would make a chuppah, and they would get married under this canopy. The erez is a type of wood that's very strong, provides protection. The other tree, that was cut down, that was planted for the girl, was a very weak tree. It was a covering. Hashem made for Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava took for themselves Ale Zayis to cover themselves. A cover. Hashem made Kosnois Or. Adam and Chava just covered their embarrassment. But what they covered was not enough to protect them from the elements, the cold, the heat. Hashem made for them Kosnois Or, not just to cover their shame, but to protect them from the elements. There are two elements in Chuppah. There is the Ale Zayis, to take away a degree of shame, that now you're complete. When until a person is married, you're lacking. You're missing something. By taking the kala into the chuppah, now what you're lacking, what has been shameful for you, I'm all alone. I'm not all alone. I've taken away the shame. But there's also an element of protection. Chosan protects the kosnes or. Likewise, the wife, she goes around the circle. She's there to protect her husband. A chuppah has two meanings, covering and protection. And this is consistent with everything you learn about chuppah. Adam and Chava is a good example. They made for themselves the Ale Zayis. That's a covering. But Hashem made for them the Kosnos Or, protection. When a boy was born, they planted an Erez, powerful tree. When a girl was born, they planted a tree. They have over the tree. I wrote it down. The tree. It was a leafy tree. It wasn't a strong tree, but it had a lot of leaves. It provided a lot of shade. And when they got married, they cut them both down. They made a chuppah of them together. Why both them together? Both elements of chuppah, the protection and the covering. Until a man gets married, a woman gets married, there's an element of shame. They're a chatzi guf. They're an incomplete marriage. The embarrassment, the kisui, it goes away. There's now dignity. Their shame has been covered. But there's more to it. There's also protection. Marriage, each one protects, shelters the other from harm. Shelter, mogen is the most important thing. More than people are always praying for bracha, 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 bracha. You know what the ikar bracha is? The ikar bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. 99% of the time, you have more bracha in your life than you'll ever need. You know what you really need? Protection. That the bracha shouldn't go away. That's the main bracha in life. Hagana.
The kruvim, it says, you are kruvim,
chofifim,
al hakapores. It's actually, it's like on the house. The bachur and bachura protect the house. Their home.
Protection. These are two elements in chuppah. We'll leave it with that. Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much. Rabbi Yosef for coming. All the best, everyone. Have a good day. Thank you.
Have a good day, Rabbi.